How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, April 9th. This is 2020, like it or not. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
You got it right. Yeah. Good morning. How are you?
Well, it's hard to forget it's 2020 anymore. So, yeah. Anyway, John, you are here today to talk to me about, and all of our listeners, about the article that you wrote yesterday about iPhone tips. Like, for a lot of people, you know, maybe they got an iPhone and haven't spent a whole lot of time customizing or setting preferences up or things like that, and just kind of use it for whatever. Maybe they restored a backup of their previous phone to the new phone or something, and haven't really spent any time with configuration or anything like that. So you wrote up some tips for people who maybe haven't dug into their phone the way that you and I, for example, generally do.
Exactly as you said, exactly. It all started when I had a conversation with my brother, who's also in lockdown. Mm-hmm. And he had an iPhone 4S that I gave him years ago that he kind of kept, you know, just as a telephone. Mm-hmm. And he had his office phone and he had his work, had his home phone. Mm-hmm. And he never really paid much attention to it. And then he decided that he should get more on board with an iPhone. So he went out and bought an 11.
Very nice.
And all of a sudden, there was a lot of stuff to know. And he had never learned how to do a text message, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I had to teach him how to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I started thinking, you know, there must be a lot of people who are in that boat who maybe are older. They decided, I better get an iPhone so I can do FaceTime with my son or daughter or something like that.
Grandkids for a lot of folks. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. So I started thinking, what are some of the things that somebody who's all of a sudden maybe a little bit newish to an iPhone or spending more time with it than they're used to? Mm-hmm. What are some of the ins and outs and things that they need to know? So I wrote the article yesterday at the Mac Observer, working home with an iPhone, 10 tips.
Yeah.
Including a special tip number 11, link to Bob Levitis's book on iPhone for Dummies.
Yes.
So I will kind of walk through the article, and the article kind of wrote itself for me because I started thinking about, you know, what are the important things to know? Well, maybe, maybe people forget that since they're at home all the time, they should leave it on the charger. Mm-hmm. Maybe they think they don't need to do that because it's good for your battery if you don't leave it on the charger all the time. But if you're under lockdown, it's your lifeline and you should keep a full charge now, on your phone at all. I mean, it won't hurt it for a few weeks.
And I will I will throw in kind of a side tip on that, which is particularly if you are now working from home or something like that, you can get, and if you've purchased a phone recently, let's say in the last 3 years or so, if you have a phone with Face ID, basically this 100% works. And if you have an iPhone 8, this will also work. And that is wireless charging. And that makes it even easier to keep your phone full of juice. And like on my desk, I have a I have an Anker charger that's a stand. So it's not one of those flat little pucks that you lay your phone flat on and have to try and line it up.
That's probably why I haven't used one, because I have a stand.
Yeah. So my stand is wireless. A wireless charger.
Oh,
so
I need to get one of those.
Yes, you do. And I will have a link to the one I have in the show notes. And I love it. And so when my mom got an iPhone that would do wireless charging, the first thing I did was go send her one of these so that she also doesn't have to fiddle with the cord, which was another thing that was sort of nice. Is like one of the advantages to the previous generation of iPhone connectors was it was nice and wide, so it was pretty easy to tell if you were lining it up. And if you have to fiddle with a lightning cable, and particularly if you are an older member of my family and you don't have your glasses on, that can be a nightmare. So
I knocked my phone off my desk one time and it ended up 2 inches from the floor dangling on the cord.
Oh.
The cord was just, what would you call it, sticky enough or tight enough?
Yeah.
That it kept from coming loose and it rescued my phone from hitting the hardwood.
Yeah. So that would be a thing that I would also recommend, because one of the nice things about that is that my phone is generally either fully charged or reasonably close to it. I do take it out myself and, you know, run it down on things when I have the opportunity, but I can just set it on this stand and it's upright. So like I said, it's not laying flat. So it's upright. And you can find these stands for for pretty inexpensively. And one other nice thing about them is, like, if you use your phone as an alarm, you can set your phone on one of these on the nightstand. And you just set it there. And because you're setting it on a stand, as long as you've got it on the stand enough that it won't fall off, then it's going to line up with the charging and, you know, start charging. I've had trouble with the flat one sometimes where you can't line your phone up like it's supposed to.
So. Cool.
So definitely.
All right, I'm going to buy one of those.
Yes. And like I said, there will be a link in the show notes to the one I've got for people who are interested.
Number two on the list was you have a 6-digit passcode to secure your phone against... Mm-hmm. Strangers or thieves, make sure your spouse or your children or who is ever living with you knows that code.
Or where to get it. Maybe you don't necessarily want to tell it to them, but maybe you make sure you've written it on.
I don't recommend a sticky put on your Macintosh.
No, but maybe you've got it written down with other documents you keep in your safe or something. Like there's... You know, or locked up in a drawer, so other people could access it if they needed it. Only because, like, yeah, I've known people whose kids figured out their passcode, and then there were shenanigans.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You should make sure somebody can at least get to it if something were to happen. Definitely, I agree with that 100%.
Number three is practice FaceTime. If you haven't done it in a while, pick a friend or a family member and just practice with it. Make sure you're good at it and you know how to use it. Because yeah. You may end up doing more FaceTime in the near future.
My FaceTime tip would be hold it a little higher than you think. Because I have had people try FaceTime and they're sort of holding it where they would normally hold it when they're reading. And then they're kind of squinting at it. And that's a really unflattering angle. And again, a stand is good for that. It doesn't have to be a charging stand or anything. But just even if it's just prop it up against... your monitor or prop it up on the table or something if you want to do that. That's a nice way to make sure that the person on the other end doesn't get seasick.
So I have links in my article to Apple support articles. They're fabulous. They're full of pictures and they're full of step-by-step instructions. So rather than try to repeat what Apple did, I just provided some context and pointers and then
yeah,
and then you can go to Apple and read their support article, which they're terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, review how to send an SOS from your phone if you need to, and how to set up emergency contacts. And again, there's another great article from Apple I linked to on how to do that.
Yeah, and particularly the emergency contacts. We were talking about this before the show. Emergency contacts are super important because you can call in somebody if you are incapacitated in some way. Someone else could pick up your phone and call an emergency contact, and they don't have to unlock your phone or know your passcode or know where to find your passcode in that locked drawer we talked about a minute ago or anything. You can make an emergency call like 911 and you can call an emergency contact. So it's important to have those set up in case something happens. Not to use my mom as an example for everything, but my mom fell off her bike and broke her leg a couple of years ago. And one of the reasons it was easier for her to get help because she was my stepdad had ridden ahead of her. So he didn't notice that she had fallen until it had been a couple of minutes and he made it home and was. And she was around the corner and couldn't quite make it. So she was able to make that emergency call from her phone and get help. She had already called 911 before my stepdad made it back to her. So it's really important to make that stuff happen. So as a person who's personally survived one of these incidents, absolutely make sure you've got emergency contacts set up. It's important.
All right. So what's the next one?
Double check your iPhone's cellular settings.
Yeah, there's a situation. Now, the way of explanation in the article was rather abbreviated. Your phone will first try to use Wi-Fi if Wi-Fi is available. If it can't maintain a reliable Wi-Fi connection, it might struggle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have spotty Wi-Fi service if you're, say, out in the yard or out in the back somewhere where Wi-Fi is a little dicey and it's fighting.
Yep.
And it'll just struggle with that. So what Apple did was they introduced something called Wi-Fi Assist, which if the Wi-Fi is a little dicey at all, it'll switch you right over to cellular if it can get a cellular signal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the backup mode, Wi-Fi first, cellular second.
Yeah.
So if your Wi-Fi gets a little dicey because you're spending a lot of time outdoors walking or in the yard working, it'll switch to cellular. And then you may have apps that all of a sudden start chatting on cellular, burning up your data. And so you want to make sure that you dictate which apps can use cellular data. And that's a good thing to do in general.
Yeah, just for awareness more than anything. Also, because you want to make sure that that stuff's not happening when you're not, you know, maybe you have apps that it's not as important that they update all the time or anything like that. And you don't want those chewing on your data plan.
Yeah, maybe you leave an app running in the background and then you're out driving around and it says, oh, I've got cellular access. I think I'm going to be playful and start talking. So you go to settings and then cellular and then cellular data and you get a chance to have a little slider button that dictates whether an app can use cellular data.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing always to be aware of.
Absolutely.
Number six. Working at home may mean that you're working more at your local cell tower than maybe you were at work where the cell tower was really good. Maybe you're in a neighborhood where the cell tower is maybe not so good and overloaded a little bit. So I have a tip to an Apple article on how to turn on Wi-Fi calling, which means instead of going over the air from your house, you go through your home's Wi-Fi base station. And I think just most of the major carriers offer that.
Yes, I can confirm AT&T does. I use it at my house and it's fantastic.
It works great. You get a good quality call and it's fast.
Yeah.
All right.
It works very well. And all you have to do is flip a switch and then you're done. And if you team that up with the Wi-Fi assist we talked about, then it knows like, okay, the Wi-Fi is kind of sketchy here, so I'm hopping off. And so you don't have to worry about it being like getting interfering with, you know, all of a sudden your call quality has taken a hit because your phone is still sticking to the Wi-Fi all the time. That doesn't work like that. So it's pretty great. Overall, I like it a lot.
I'll move on. Number eight, it's just good general advice. It's a sort of a conservative approach I use, and that is settings, privacy, location services. And I review every app and whether it can access my location. The first order allows it only while using. If I don't think an app ever needs to know my location for any reason, I'll make sure I turn that off. Some apps would like to know your location because they would like to report on something. They don't really need to know your location to function. So that's something I do as a matter of course. And since you may be spending some time at home, not having commute anymore, you have a little time to play with your phone. I recommend looking at your location services and being very picky about which apps can access your location. Some need to do that for weather, of course.
Right.
And some other apps don't, like Kindle Reader.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. So, receive calls on other devices, number nine. This is something a lot of people don't know about. If you want to make sure you don't miss a call, or you want to be able, so your phone sits in one room and you may be in another room watching TV and you have an iPad in your lap and you don't want to miss a phone call, you can go to Settings, Phone, Calls and Other Devices, and you can actually use an iPad to make a phone call or receive a phone call.
Or your watch, so, which we talked about before.
Watch is automatic. Automatic. There's no way to enable that or disable it. But I have an iPad Mini 5 that sits on my nightstand. And it will answer a phone call if I get one, and my watch is not handy.
And your computer can do that too. You can make your Mac one of those options for calls on other devices if you are at your computer a lot all of a sudden. And it might be more convenient, like particularly if you have your AirPods connected to your computer, for example, listening to stuff and get a phone call, then there you go. So, number 10.
Number 10, investigate your bank's phone app. This can be very handy in the lockdown. Banks will allow you to do banking on the app. You can check on things. You can move money around. Some apps, I know one bank in particular, and probably most of them now, allow you to deposit a check by taking a photo of it and just goes right into your checking account.
Under a certain amount usually, but it's usually pretty high.
If you get a big check in the mail and you don't really want, and you're under lockdown and you don't want to go to the bank, even go through the drive-through window because you don't want to go out, you can deposit the check at home.
Yeah.
And you can set up bill pay and pay your bills electronically. You don't have to mess with letters and stamps and all that messy stuff in the mail. Mm-hmm. And there's some nice pharmacy apps that will allow you to refill a prescription by just scanning the bottle's barcode.
Yeah.
Instead of having to, call the pharmacy or...
Right.
Or call the phone number and go through their voicemail jail and try to read off a prescription number and get it renewed. Yeah. And I got an email from Walgreens the other day that said they'll even do home delivery if you request it.
Oh, nice.
So you can just read the barcode in your prescription, have it refilled, and then request home delivery.
If you don't have home delivery, a lot of them, if you can do it through an app or scan a barcode in some fashion, like the Walgreens app, it will also use the app to notify you when it's ready. So if you have that advantage, then it'll tell you, like, hey, it's ready, you can come get it. I found out that I know specifically the Walgreens app will do this because that was what I was shown was the Walgreens app will let you pay ahead of time. Like you get the text message and it'll say you can prepay for it now.
With Apple Pay?
I don't remember if you can use Apple Pay. Because I had a friend that said that mentioned to me. So I used the Walgreens app and then it let me pay right there on my phone. And then my Walgreens has a drive through. And so it was like minimal contact. So it was just a refill. So I got texted it was ready. And then I paid for it I paid for it on my phone. And then when I got there, I was like, hi, this is me. I read them the code off my phone and they went, yep, you're paid. Here's your prescription. And then I left.
They didn't have to handle your driver's license.
Right. Or
so many of the things,
you know, credit card or anything else. Yeah.
And handle credit cards and handle driver's licenses. We're not going to be doing in the post-virus era.
Yeah. I've actually sort of been curious if there's been an uptick in Apple Pay adoption from a lot of places that weren't doing it before because it's just easier.
Right.
You know, you don't have to touch the keypad or anything. Yeah. Contactless payments. Yeah. Now, I know your article is 10 tips, but I see that there's a bonus one at the bottom. That's number 11.
Yeah, I had Dr. Mac Bob Levitis on my show the other day. We talked about working at home, and I provided a link to that. He had
some
great tips. Hi, Bob. Tips on working from home. And then he also mentioned that he's got an update coming on his iPhone for Dummies book. Mm-hmm. But if you need one now, I'm sure the recent version will be very helpful.
Yes.
And if you're new to an iPhone and you want to spend some time at home learning about it, iPhone for Dummies. None of you listeners are dummies, but that's the name of the book.
Yeah. And it started out as for dummies books, you know, ages ago, and they just sort of stuck with that. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's mostly for newbies more than dummies.
Cover things you may not be quite sure about or want to review. Mm-hmm. And just sort of get smarter about your iPhone and get more use out of it.
Yeah.
So that's a good book to have.
Yeah. And I think part of this comes from if you are a person whose phone is not part of your habits, like John, you and I, when we have to do something, we're always looking for like, can I automate that or can I do it on my phone instead or whatever? And there are a lot of people that's not the case. Like I carry my phone around because when I'm not home, somebody may need to call me. Right. And that's like all the phone is for. Or maybe I want to take a picture once in a while and that's it. So part of what I really enjoyed about your article was that all of these things are things that I take for granted because I've had a phone forever and I've done all this stuff forever. So it's the kind of thing that maybe wouldn't occur to me if my brother called me and said, you know, I just upgraded my 4S to an 11 and I need to, like, I have some questions about how to make all this stuff work. So I'm very impressed with your ability to find the base level stuff that you know, as I always say, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And so, you know, being able to come at it from that perspective was really nice. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I tried to think about it in terms of being a non-expert user. What are kind of the critical things that I need to know about my phone now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I appreciated it. And I also appreciate that you took the time to come by today and talk to me about it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's fun.
Yeah, I was glad you were here. And that's going to do it for us today. Again, thanks, John, for being here today. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.